So thank you, Sam, for asking me to share today at this OA workshop. I am a bulimic, anorexic, compulsive eater, and really glad and grateful to be at this meeting with you all today. I'll share a little bit of my story first, and particularly I'm aware that we've got some fairly newcomers in the meeting as well. I came to OA completely messed up and broken. I don't really remember a time when food didn't figure really prominently in my life. I've always been over interested in it. I've always had a very unusual relationship with it. Over a period of time, it got worse and worse and worse. It never, ever, ever got better. You know, I would have periods of time where I would hold it together and, you know, be able to diet or be able to restrict certain things or be able to, you know, maintain a weight that I was, I was never comfortable with my weight, whatever it was. No matter how low I got it, it was never good enough. I was completely obsessed with my body, absolutely hated myself. I often share I'm one of four children and we look really, really similar, but I always felt that I wasn't loved as much as my siblings. I thought I must have been adopted, even though the genetic likeness was astonishing, but I still thought that I must have been adopted because I counted and there were less photographs of me as a baby and a young child than there were of my siblings. I mean, and that's the sort of obsessive personality I have, is that I actually want to quantify how much my parents loved me by counting the photographs they'd taken of me. I got to the point with food where it sort of infiltrated every waking moment of my life, or that's how it felt. It was my first thought in the morning when I woke up, what was I going to eat? Oh, crikey, I ate that yesterday. I wish I hadn't. You know, how am I going to get around that? How am I going to hide the wrappers? It was incessant. And it was always my last thought at night, tomorrow it will be different. Tomorrow I will, you know, sort it. Tomorrow I will lose the weight. Tomorrow I won't do that again. I became very sneaky around food. I used to steal it. I used to steal money for food. I didn't really care what I ate. Burnt, frozen, stale, stolen, off the floor, out the bin. Didn't really bother me. I've eaten my own vomit. I mean, the things I have done with food are disgusting. And the shame that I felt about what I did and the fear that someone would find out, you know, who I was and what I did was awful. The way that I felt about myself as a person was I was in terror the whole time. I was afraid, I was lonely, I was full of guilt, remorse, shame. I couldn't sleep at night. I couldn't sit still. My legs would constantly be moving and my hands would be like this with my hands. I was just like this nervous ball of massive feelings all the time, and I just couldn't cope with them. And food temporarily appeared to calm those down, or take them away momentarily. What I didn't know is that they sadly don't fix anything, and they give me a load of extra problems as well. So I got to the point where I was self-harming, suicidal, on lots of different medications, under various supervisions. When I did my A-levels, I was in a psychiatric ward and I had a nurse escort to take me to take my exams and bring me home again. An absolute mess. And the amazing thing is that I found this program. I thought that doing a geographical to London and finding a job as a nanny and finding a sugar daddy would fix my life. That was my new plan of how to fix my life. And I asked a lady who I knew if she could help me find a nannying job. I didn't bother telling her about the sugar daddy idea. She'd obviously noticed how much food I'd stolen whilst I used to babysit for her. And she said to me, "You know, honey, I think you might find a treatment centre is a better place to go." And that was how I found the programme of Overeaters Anonymous. And I've been abstinent since the 2nd of February 1997, so a consistent abstinence of over 23 years. I maintained I don't know how heavy I was when I came in, because I was bulimic a lot of the time. I didn't get really large, but I've definitely lost 3 or 4 stone from that point, and then maintained.
5 minutes gone, Joanna.
Thank you, that goes quick. Okay, right, I'm going to get onto the promises of the programme. So basically, I was a total mess. Now, I'll just show you my big book. It is full of highlights of different colours and underlinings. And this is because right at the very beginning, and on the first proper page in the preface, X1, on the second paragraph, it says, "This book has become the basic text." And I use it as a textbook. So I take lines from it and I try and study it. If I don't understand something, I get a dictionary and read it. You know, I was really, really ill, and this has been my way to get well. So the first promise that I've got down that I was going to share briefly about is in Bill's story, page 13. And it said, "My friend promised when these things were done, I would enter upon a new relationship with my creator, that I would have the elements of a way of living which answered all my problems." And that sounded really good to me, because I felt like I had a lot of problems and I wanted someone to fix them. Now, I didn't believe in a God. I didn't like the sound of a God, but I was really happy at the idea that somebody might fix that for me. But finding a higher power and a relationship that could work for me was quite a struggle. I haven't got time to share about that today, but that is what I have been able to do in this fellowship. And it started with somebody just saying, you know, just try praying, even if you don't believe in it, even if you don't like it, even if you don't want to do it, even if you don't understand it, just try it and see what happens. What have you got to lose? And to be fair, all I had to lose was a really, really awful life. And complete load of misery and a load of fat and a load of shame. On page 15 in Bill's story, it says, "It's a design for living that works in rough going." Now, I like that because, you know, my life seemed to be full of rough going, really, really full of rough going. And I wanted something that genuinely would and could work for me. Page 20, it says, "We have recovered from a hopeless condition of mind and body." And I was completely hopeless. I was desperate. I was alone. I thought that nobody else had ever felt these things, ever done these things. I never, ever said a word about it to anyone because I thought I was a hopeless case. Now, there's probably not time to describe the condition of the mind and body, but my body doesn't function like a normal, an ordinary person. Let's not call them normal. I don't want to be abnormal. I'd like to be extraordinary rather than ordinary. I put certain substances in and sadly my body reacts to them. It's like I'm allergic to them. Instead of taking away the desire for that food or that substance, it makes it bigger. It makes it insatiable. And then if I can't get a hold of that, I'll have anything. I don't care what it is, I'll have anything. So my body definitely does not function like that of an ordinary person. And my mind clearly wasn't. I knew I was completely off my head in a strange place. I liked the psychiatric ward. It felt comfortable. It felt safe. It felt better than being at home or being in my school or being in work, anything. It felt better. So that wasn't difficult for me to accept. So to know that I could recover that, was fantastic. I've got a few more, but I'm just going to skip along because there's some of them are a little bit repetitive. Most of the promises I find in the big book usually need me to do something. If I want to get this thing, then I have to, you know, if I want to outgrow fear, if I want to have a design for living, I have to do something first. And on page 46 in We Agnostics, it says, "As soon as we admitted the possible existence of a creative intelligence, a spirit of the universe underlying the totality of things, we begin to be possessed of a new sense of power and direction." Well, I was completely rudderless. You know, I had no plan for my life. I had no power to do anything. Everything I did felt you know, it was just pointless. And all I had to do was admit the possible. I didn't have to understand it. I didn't have to get it. I didn't even have to know what the concept was. Didn't have to like it. I just had to admit the possible existence of this God. And I could call it whatever I liked, you know, whatever word worked for me. It could be, it didn't have to be a hymn. It could be, you know, feminine. It could be neutral. It could be the oak tree at the bottom of the garden. It really doesn't matter, as long as it's something bigger and stronger than me. And
5 minutes to go, Joanna.
Okay,
thank
you. One of the things that helped me a lot was somebody in a meeting. We sat around a really, really large table, and you know, something that no one person could pick up by themselves. And somebody said to me, try picking up that table and moving it out of this room into another and see if you can do that by yourself. And of course I couldn't. And she said, right, all of us, let's pick it up together. And we did, and we could get it through the door and out. And it's just suddenly, if I ask for help and help in the right place, the people that really understand, and that is people in this fellowship, then together we can do what I can't do by myself. So We Agnostics, page 57, the end of the chapter. But he has come to all who have honestly sought him. When we drew near to him, he disclosed himself to us. So I like this idea. This is all step two and three stuff. When I want to develop a relationship with a higher power, I just need to honestly seek. It doesn't say I have to find, just start the process of seeking, which to me is prayer and meditation. So those are the actions that I can take that will help me. Page 70 and how it works. This basically says, if I do my inventory, we have begun to learn tolerance, patience, and goodwill toward all men, even our enemies, for we will look at them as sick people. So again, if I'm willing to write an inventory, then I'll begin to learn this different way of being towards people. Then page 75, there are promises about step four and step five, and this is in the chapter interaction. And this sounded such a lovely way of being, something that I'd never experienced before. So if we take these steps, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone in perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We've been ruled by fear all my life, every waking moment. It was just the fear. And honestly, I am not ruled by fear anymore. I definitely have fears quite often, but I'm not ruled by it. And I can have moments when I'm alone that I can feel at perfect peace and ease. I don't have to feel lonely, even when I'm alone. I used to feel lonely even when I was with people, to be fair. So it's really, really fantastic to not have that. Everybody knows the main promises in step nine, page 83, but I love the hidden promises that come afterwards, page 84. And we've ceased fighting anything or anyone. For this time, sanity will have returned. And at the beginning, I used the word that was in the big book about recovered. And for me, this means is I've recovered my sanity around food. I used to see food and just eat it. There's no filter in my brain. And what my higher power has done now that I've, you know, turned my will and my life over and worked the steps is that I have this second thought that comes in. The first one comes in and says, eat. And then a second one comes in and says, I don't have to do this anymore. So that is perhaps where I'll think about sort of drawing this to a close, in that hope that if I'm ruled by thoughts of food, it don't have to be anymore. In OA, there is a way of learning how to not have the food rule my life anymore, to regain the sanity, to know that this substance is poison to me, and that if I eat it, it's going to set off this chain reaction in my body that I can't control. I have absolutely no control. If I put that stuff in, what comes out is madness and mayhem, and I just literally throw my life away in that moment. And through working the program and using the tools and relying on the we, you are my God with skin on. You know, I still don't really understand, you know, God out there, but I feel connected here in a way that I have never ever felt connected, and I still don't, even with my family, in this same way. So I'm eternally grateful for the, you know, recovering that sanity around food, so that I have the chance to have life in between my meals. You know, I plan them, I stay away from my binge foods, I eat moderately, and if I do those things and work the steps, then these promises do come true. You know, they say sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. A lot of them are sometimes slowly. Some do come literally just like that, which is phenomenal.
Time, Joanna.
Lovely. Okay. But reading through the book, there are so many wonderful benefits that I can get if I truly work the program on any given day. It's wonderful to be with you all. Thank you for letting me share.
Should I go?
Yeah, over to you. Thanks, Sabir.
Thanks very much. Thank you. Bill, as his sponsor, he'd had 23 illnesses, many of them life-threatening, all gone through miracles, through synchronicities, through promises totally incredible, beyond all imagining. I had kidney failure. I was eventually to be on a dialysis machine, walking sticks, using asthma inhalers to breathe. He had what I wanted. I wanted to stop killing myself with food. I wanted my health to be restored. I didn't want to be on a, eventually I was on a machine 8 hours a day to keep me alive, on a dialysis machine, inhalers, walking sticks to try and get along. I wanted life, and I knew he was carrying, beyond intellect, with spiritual experience, he carried what I wanted. I came back to London. I knew I had to get a 12-step program, but I really wanted God. When I really want God, it's like all the right people come in. I was in an OA meeting in central London, and this man was next to me. I gave him a hug at the end of the meeting, and I had this kind of overwhelming, I was struck by this inner intuition. It wasn't my head. It said, ask him to be your sponsor. I asked him. He was a saint. He was an absolute saint. I'd asked the right, I didn't know to ask him, but something told me to ask him. And he took me through the 12 steps, and he was my sponsor for 10 or 11 years. He died recently, abstinent, a real saint, unconditional love, took me through the steps. As I said, I'm 12 years abstinent, essentially more or less 9 years free of food and body obsession, in a position of neutrality. I'm not on a dialysis machine. I was on a dialysis machine 8 hours a day to keep me alive. I used to use asthma inhalers. The hospital clinic discharged me from the asthma clinic because my breathing was fine. I had gout. I'd have these horrific gout attacks in my feet. The rheumatology clinic discharged me because I no longer had gout attacks. You know, the miracles, 12 years of abstinence, neutrality around food and body essentially for 9 years, my health being restored. That for me is not a human power. When I got my sponsor, I gave it 100%. You know, meetings, prayer, meditation, I knew that God could perform all miracles. And if I gave myself and my heart, and I was willing to do that completely to the program, put it before everything, that, you know, God can perform miracles, you know, and that has been I had to have the faith. But when I really wanted God, it was like the right people showed up. And I had no, you know, I knew, you know, my background was in science. I understood medicine. I felt I had an understanding of psychiatry. And I knew that I needed something beyond that. You know, just the big book tells me, you know, Carl Jung tried to stop an alcoholic and failed. And he said, alas, I cannot help you with my therapy. You need a spiritual awakening. One of the best therapists on the planet using human intervention could not stop an addict from their addiction. They need a spiritual solution. He had the humility not to carry on taking his money, say, no, just keep coming back, give me another few hundred pounds and maybe we'll try and fix you. You have to find a spiritual solution. But for me, when I got to meet Bill Sponsee, it was just absolute, you know, to feel the light, the power of God. I knew that everything is possible. And to, you know, that, you know, I'm here. I mean, I'm so grateful. I know that, you know, for me, to be suicidal with food, to be dying, to have people, you know, I'm an only child. When my mother came and saw her only child dying, she had a heart attack. and went into intensive care for 3 months and had to have bypass surgery, seeing her only son kill himself with addiction. I nearly killed myself, killed my mother, and yet my mother passed away 2 years. I was abstinent, I was free of food and body obsession. I was by her bedside and I told her I loved her. She told me she loved me. And that was the gift of the promises of this program. That wasn't done by my willpower. That was not done by a therapist, by the grace of my sponsor, by the grace and the love of God, a loving God that wants to take care of me. God loves me so much. OA loves me so much. If I would just commit my heart and give everything I've got with the sponsor. I mean, my experience is that everything, you know, bad health, suicide, whatever it is that I was suffering from, everything can be alleviated. I can only call this the miraculous. I wouldn't call it willpower. Like I've got amazing willpower. I'm really clever. What gives me grace? We had a reading about fit spiritual condition. This thing of spiritual awakening beyond a spiritual concept in step two. When I experience that love and that presence, that power of God, I feel like this power is taking care of me in my life. Miracles, synchronicities. You know, I'm here to serve God, to bear witness to what this a spiritual program can do in my life. You know, for people who might be suffering out there, you know, in despair, who have tried everything and do not know where to find a solution. So I think the great joy of this program is after you get a sponsor and after to get this feeling of usefulness, what greater joy can there be in life than to recover from a life-threatening illness? And then to go to places where people might be suffering and in despair, not able to stop the food or whatever disorder or addiction they can, compulsively going into oblivion, trying to get relief from something that can never give relief. For me, all the external things I tried can never, ever work. Being thin can never be the solution to my problems. A woman, a career, for me, they're externals. The solution is internal. I have to get that spirit within me. The love of God is an inside job. When I feel that love and that grace in my life, every day is a miracle.
Sabir.
Thank you so much. When I go into my head, my ego, when I'm in my thinking, it's always about control and controlling the show and getting something outside of me to fix me. Should I get on an exercise machine? Should I get thinner? Should I go after that goal? Should I get that career? Should I do this? Control, control, control. When I have the humility to surrender, then I start to feel love and presence, the grace of a higher power taking care of me. Miracles and synchronicity. I start to be the person I'm meant to be spiritually in this life. My ego, my self-centered fear, my thinking blocks me off from being a channel of what spirit would have me be in this life. So I think, you know, the promises are just so incredible to be who I'm meant to be, to have my life restored. You know, I mean, I can only bear witness, but, you know, kidney failure, death, suicidal, I've recovered by the grace of God as long as I work this program and have the humility not to
make it.
Thank you. Outside things, my God, and submit one day to this program. Thank you for letting me be here today. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sabir. Jen, if you could please end the recording now.